And we thank them for coming today. As you have time to fellowship with them in just a little while, be sure and thank them for all that they've done to give us the rights and freedoms that we so love and are appreciative of. So keep their families in your prayers, keep them in your prayers, and our returning soldiers that are serving now, that they'll have the support, that they'll be shown the love and gratitude that they are deserving of for their service to our country. This time, let us go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, as we come before you this day, we thank you for this opportunity to give honor to those, dear Heavenly Father, who have dedicated their lives and give their lives into the service of our country. And dear Heavenly Father, we pray for the families of those that their loved one gave the ultimate sacrifice. And dear Heavenly Father, for our fallen. Go with us now and lead us and guide us in everything that's said and done, that we give you honor, praise, and glory for all things. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. At this time, I'd like to introduce Jimmy Church, the commander of the Allegheny Honor Guard.
Thank you, Brad.
Thanks, Church.
A great honor to be standing before you today, to be able to honor these folks sitting on these first pews, giving everything that they had for our protection. For us to be able to come today to this church and worship our God. These folks are the ones that's made that possible, and we thank them. We hope that this will be a blessing to you folks, the church family. Honor Guard, teeth hook.
Attention, salute, pledge. I pledge allegiance to the Christian flag and to the kingdom for who it stands. One brotherhood uniting all Christians in service and in love. Attention, salute, pledge. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Detail. Present. Oh! Oh. Black detail. This, me. Hold the detail. A 10, hook. The first fold of the flag is a symbol of life. The second fold is a symbol of our belief in eternal life. The third fold is made in honor and remembrance of the veterans departing our ranks who gave a portion of their lives for the defense of our country, to attain peace throughout the world. The fourth fold represents a weaker nature. For as American citizens trusting, it is in Him we turn in times of peace, as well as in times of war, for His divine guidance. The fifth fold is a tribute to our country. For in the words of Stephen Decatur, our country, in dealing with other countries, may she always be right. But it is still our country, right or wrong. The sixth fold is for where our hearts lie. It is with our heart that we pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. The seventh fold is a tribute to our armed forces. For it is through the armed forces that we protect our country and our flag against all her enemies, whether they be found within or without the boundaries of our republic. The eightfold is a tribute to the one who entered into the valley of the shadow of death, that we might see the light of day and to honor Mother, and whom it flies on Mother's Day. The ninth fold is a tribute to womanhood. For it has been through their faith, their love, loyalty, and devotion that the character of the men and women who have this country great has been molded. The tenth fold is a tribute to the Father. For He too has given His sons and daughters for the defense of our country since they were first born. The 11th fold, in the eyes of the Hebrew citizen, represents the lower portion of the seal of the King of David, King of Solomon, and glorifies in their eyes the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. The 12th fold, in the eyes of a Christian citizen, represents an emblem of eternity and glorifies in their eyes God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. The 13th fold, when the fold is completely folded, when the flag is completely folded, the stars are utmost, reminding us of our nation's motto, In God We Trust. After the flag is completely folded and tucked in, it takes on the appearance of a cocked hat, ever reminding us of the soldiers who served under General George Washington and the sailors and the Marines who served under Captain John Paul Jones, who were followed by their comrades and shipmates in the armed forces of the United States, preserving for us the rights, privileges, and the freedom we join today. We're in civilian services such as police, fire department, EMS. Keep in mind all important reasons behind each and every movement. They have paid the ultimate sacrifice for all of us by honoring our flag and our country. Could let's all bow for a moment of silence, please. In respect, honor for the ultimate sacrifice. Amen. This time I'd like to call all the members of this church who are veterans, if you would come forward, please. Members of this church who are veterans. Honor guard, pay respect.
On behalf of the New Hope Missionary Baptist Church and Allegheny County Honor Guard, I ask you to receive this as a token of our appreciation for your service.
This time we'd like to ask our visiting veterans, if you would, please stand and come forward, please. Folks, ain't this a blessing? Honor guard, show respect. You may be seated, veterans. Thank you again so much.
today. 'Cause there ain't no doubt I love this land. God bless the USA.
Amen. Amen. Church, again, let me say thank you from the bottom of our hearts, veterans. No words can be told to you what you went through. Even to this day, what you've had to go through and endure. We will always, in our little honor guard, honor and respect you with the utmost dignity. We thank you again for all that you've done for God and country. And even today, what you do going up and down Main Street, you go out and have your barbecues and you have all these fundraisers to help people in the walk of life today that we're living in. You absolutely are still one of the biggest blessings that this country has. We thank you again. Church, thank you for allowing us to do this. Continue to serve these folks. It's an honor. That's God's word, that we serve one another. That's something we need to do more of. Amen. Thank you again. Brother Brett.
Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time of being able to honor our veterans. God, we pray you honor their service. We pray that you look down upon them, give them health and strength. And dear Heavenly Father, may they feel the love we tried to share with them today, making this a special day for them, in honoring them, in honoring God. Most importantly, our service, as you are a servant to all men. God, help us to be servants unto mankind. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Honor God. Be seated.
I would like to thank everyone who has participated this morning, for our singers in preparation to be able to sing for us. We thank you. We thank you, our veterans, for being here with us today. We thank you, church, for helping to honor these men and women and for what they have done for our country. We thank God that He has given us a land and country where we are still free to be able to serve God and to worship Him in truth and in spirit. At this time, I'm going to ask Rihanna Evans, if she would, to come forward. She has written a poem, and she's going to share that with us. And then after she reads the poem, Deacon Board, we will take up our offering. So make preparation.
Why veterans are important to our nation's history and future. Take your imagination for a venture with me for a moment. You and your spouse are raising two kids who are always covered in dirt with a face full of smiles. You work hard for a living, but life wears you down with the continuous bills and debts. You try your hardest to do the best at your role as a father or mother, but you can only do so much because you aren't at home. You are worlds away, fighting in a war. You're trying to support not only your family, but also your neighbors, your town, and your country. The life of a soldier takes a true hero. Until recently, I never had to think about the life of a soldier. I've always considered myself blessed for the country I'm able to call home. I've walked through life without knowing what it would be like to live without a loved one. I don't have to miss my dad because he's not overseas. I have never been able to grasp the idea of life in the military. But as I have gotten older, more and more people I know and love have begun their career by going to basic training. They will continue and go fight hard to serve our country. As each one departs, I gain a little more understanding. Each person who serves and returns is a special blessing from God. They come back with scars, memories, and nightmares, but they never failed to give their all for me. They arrive home as heroes, and that is how they should be remembered, because with the help from each one of them, our nation has become a miracle. The probability of the United States becoming was slim to none. The Revolutionary War was expected to be no revolution at all. The British held the number one power in the world. The rest of the world believed they knew who would be defeated as soon as the war began, but the Patriots disagreed. They didn't fight for just land or a decrease in taxes. They fought for freedom. The Patriots made an impact on the whole world. Throughout our history, anytime someone threatened our freedom, our protection, or our lives, soldiers were there to fight hard and protect us. Veterans leave a mark on this world that no one else can. They remind us why we're here and why we love our country. They spent their lives fighting so we can spend our life in peace. The sacrifices these men and women have made are full of more honor than they will ever know. They have helped keep this country on a path toward success since the beginning. Every veteran influences our country with positive aspects. Our future looks bright, and we need to thank our veterans. They have enabled many opportunities to transpire for us. Every day they fight for our freedom is another day we get to live without the fear of enemies attacking. That should make everyone in this country stop in pure respect. Life is precious, and although veterans know that, they are willing to sacrifice their life for us. They have a love for our country that should inspire us. It inspires me. Many sacrifices have been made by each veteran that will make this country's future exceptional. The older I get, the more I realize the importance of veterans. I never knew what it would feel like to miss someone overseas, but I'm sure the time will come. And when it does, I'm sure my respect will continue to grow. It takes a tremendous amount of courage to fulfill the task of a soldier. The life as a veteran once arriving home can't be easy. I'm sure the experiences at war have damaged hearts of many brave men and women. I feel so honored to have the opportunity to write my gratitude and the importance of veterans. They have been important since the beginning of this country and will continue to be vital for hundreds of years from now. They are the reason I stand proudly to say the Pledge of Allegiance every morning. They are the reason I can lay my head to rest in peace every night. They are the reason I'm free.
Thank you, Rihanna. We appreciate that. Our deacons, would please come forward to receive the offering. Philip, would you ask a blessing on the offering, please? Remember, after the service today, we do have a meal prepared. Hope everyone will stay and help partake and have fellowship one together. Thank these gentlemen and ladies for their service to the country. We also have a card that the Young People's Group has made, but the writing is kind of light on the inside, so I can't see it good enough to read it. Well, I will have it downstairs if you would like to come by and read it. It is to our veterans for your service, your bravery, and your boldness, and your courage, and we thank you. If you have your Bibles this morning, turn to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 12. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 12. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. You know, these men and women were called at a time to serve their country, many of them in wartime, some in peacetime, but any way that they were called and they served, They had to go against one evil that we all face today still yet. We are, that are saved and are the, of the redeemed are veterans of the army of God, serving Him proudly and serving Him boldly, as we should, because He gave His very best that we might have this opportunity today to claim the blood of Jesus for our salvation, that He can give us the courage in time of difficulty, to give us the strength when we're faced with an innumerable task before us, that we can stand proud and proclaim Jesus Christ, Him crucified, buried, risen, and thank God is coming again at the right hand of the Father. He sits this morning making intercession for you and I. And we don't wrestle against the flesh and blood. We do wrestle against powers and principalities that are the rulers of the darkness of this world that we face daily. Satan is trying and striving with all that he has in him to come and bring against our country and against its people, against Christians, some kind of bombardment to try to get us to weaken, to try to bust our ranks, that he can infiltrate and come in. And in many places he has, and falsehoods are being preached this morning in pulpits across the land and country. But the true Word of God will stand, just like a true soldier's heart stands undivided, giving all unto his country, giving all unto his job at hand, to his brothers and sisters there that he's standing shoulder to shoulder with. And so should we as Christians come together to unite, not be the first ones to run down a brother or sister in times of discouragement, in times of trouble, but that we lift up their name in prayer, that we bow a knee and be humble and realize that it's not each other that we have problems with, but it's the wickedness of this world that is being imparted because of Satan. And if you don't believe he's working, just look around in our country where it has gone since many of these men and women went to service in the theaters that they participated in. Some in Korea, some in Vietnam, some in different places that they have served, Afghanistan, Pakistan, and all the other places where there's been times that men and women in the armed services have had to go and put boots on the ground, serving in places that we have still trying to lead other nations in the things and in the right ways to bring peace. But only one true peace giver is available, and his name's Jesus. As long as Satan is in this world and in charge of this world, we're going to have times of tribulations and times of famine. We're going to have times of hardship, but there's one who is greater than all these things. And we must remember that it is Satan that's causing the problems that we have today, because we wrestle against them in high places and the wickedness in high places. And we see that Satan's head is rearing upon the people today in America and across our land and country. Today we have got so weak-kneed and so cowardly that we won't stand up and proclaim with boldness Jesus Christ and Him crucified. We have accepted so many things in America because our motto is that we're a melting pot and we let everything come in. I think there was a few things that we might ought to have left out, but I thank God what gives them the same opportunity to proclaim their falsehood gives me the same opportunity to stand for the true living God and not have to worry. In days that we're living now, some persecution is coming. People thinking that they can change the Word of God. Let me tell you, the Word of God will never be changed. It was forever settled in heaven. I think about times, and I think about these men and women that made preparation to go to war. Some of them were just little training. They were taken in and taught how to march a little bit. We're given details on how to shoot their weapons and how to make preparation, whatever their specialty was, and then put into service, and many of them facing war zones at very young ages. Thank God whenever God was looking over them, took care of them, and brought them back to be with us here today. And thank God that God is still the commander-in-chief of His army. I think about the time when Joshua and the children of Israel went up against Jericho. God gave them a battle plan. And we have to know the battle plan. We have to know our enemies. And we have to be able to face them with the battle plan of God if we're going to be victorious. God told Joshua, He says, you take the children of Israel and you go out and you march around the walls. Each day, nobody speaking, nobody saying a word, and you march around, return to your camp. Do this 6 days in a row, but on the seventh day, it's going to be different. On the seventh day, you march to Jericho. You march around the walls of the city 7 times. And on that seventh time, when the trumpet blows, have the people shout. And whenever they follow the battle plan, every day they marched in silence. They marched around the city 1 time, 2 times, 6 times around, and they didn't complain. They didn't question. They went back. They performed their duties. just as they were supposed to do, given by God. And on the seventh day, they marched around that city seven times. And when the trumpet sounded and the people shouted, it said the walls fell straightway down. They didn't fall out. They didn't fall in. They went down that the men of the army could go in and take the city. Let me tell you, when God gives us a plan, we need to follow it to the letter. And when we do, we will achieve victory. And thank God He's given us a plan in His Word that we can be victorious. But we have to be engaged in the battle. You're not engaged in the battle if you're standing by the way with your weapon down and your heart not in what you are doing. And many people today are standing by the sidelines wanting to be in the rear to recover, and they've never got on the front line for God to be able to serve Him in the way that they need to and the way that God has asked us to stand boldly, to stand our place, and to stand our ground and to stand in the gaps when a brother or sister falls and another one falls in place, to be able to lift them up and be able to fill in that gap that Satan doesn't have a place that he can infiltrate our ranks. But we see many people today have lost their eye on what they need to be doing. They've lost their vision. Reminds me of another time when Joshua and the children of Israel, and God had told them whenever they went into the places not to take of any of the accursed things for themselves. It was the battle of Ai. And they went up against Ai, and one of the children had saw some things that he thought was precious in the city of Jericho. And he decided to lay hold on those things. He wasn't engaged in the whole battle because he didn't heed the warning of Joshua that God had given him. He took the sin into the camp of the children of Israel, and they went against Ai. And they expected to go up and be victorious. When they went up against the city of Ai, they smote them, and they turned Israel away, and they was running and retreating from these people that they should have been able to destroy. And they found out they were sin in the camp. You think one person doesn't make a difference, but let me tell you, because of one man, Ai, having a covetous and lustful heart for the good things that he laid eyes on, a wedge of gold and silver and a Babylonian garment, seems like very little sin. But whenever God tells us not to, we better not. No matter how big or how little we call it, God sees it all the same. We see the men went up against Ai and they suffered defeat. Joshua inquired of God why. Because He had promised them if they went out and was obedient to Him that they would be victorious. He had given to them all the land that was before them. But they had suffered defeat. And when the lots were cast, the man was brought. And when he was brought, Achan was found to be guilty of having these possessions. Not only did they bring justice upon him, they bound him up and his children and all these things. And judgment came swiftly because of the sin that was in the camp. We're seeing persecutions in America for us being a Christian nation. We're seeing persecutions because we stand on the Word of God for what it says. We are no longer one nation under God, unfortunately. Many people are trying to take Him out, and when we take God out of America, we will do nothing but suffer. We will do nothing but suffer. Reminds me of another captain of the army. God had called Gideon. Gideon hit the first. He was a little reluctant. He put a test to God to make sure God knew what he was doing. And he put the fleece out, and the first he wanted the fleece wet and the ground dry. Then the next night he wanted the ground to be wet and the fleece dry. And we see that God provided these things to show to Gideon he was a man that God had chosen. They took the army, and when they went up to battle, God says, you got too many folks. 32,000 men went. God says, you got too many. If I let that many go down there and defeat this people, they're going to think they've done it on their own. Says, you tell those that don't want to go, just to go back home. They don't have to worry about it. 22,000 men decided, hey, I got better things to do. 10,000 men's left. He says, listen, said, that's still too many people. Said, I want you to take them down to the river. I want you to look and see which ones bow down and lap like a dog, or I want to see which ones get the water in their hand and drink. He come down that 1% of 32,000 men is what he took to battle. 300 men. 300 men that God had chosen, selected, was called out. And Gideon got a little nervous about this thing, and God knew it. He said, Gideon, you go down to the camp and you listen. There was two soldiers down there talking, said, you know, I had a dream, and I seen this barley cake come rolling down the hill and went into our tent and just tore it all to pieces. And the interpretation of the dream was that that was Gideon and his army coming, and they were going to suffer defeat. Well, that gave Gideon the encouragement he needed. God told him, he says, you take the water pots, empty water pots, and you take a light in that, and you go with your trumpet, and you divide up the company, and company of 100, and surround the men. So Gideon listened to God's battle plan. We see that he went down, and at the time that was given, at the change of the watch, God gave him the commandment, it was time to go to battle. They all stood and blew their trumpets and busted their water pitchers and shined their lights, and the people in their own confusion killed one another. Now when God is in it, He can take 300 men and accomplish what 32,000 can do. There were times in these men and women's lives and areas they've been that a handful of people made a difference. Church, I want to encourage you to be that handful of people in this world today that we go out to make a difference, because we are still on the battle line for God. The war is still raging. Until our commander-in-chief returns and sin is wiped away from this whole earth, there will be a time to proclaim Jesus Christ and Him crucified, risen, and coming again. Thank God He's still on the way, because the church is still here. I've not been called out to my retirement yet, but thank God one day He'll say it's enough. And I pray you're ready to go. When the command was given to march, the soldiers were ready to go. They had to make ready in just a few moments of time. The children of God will be the same way. In a moment in time that no man knows, we will be called out of this world in the rapture. 7 years of hardship is going to hit this earth like we have never seen, so says the Word of God. There will be a little good times in the first 3.5 years. The Antichrist is going to have answers for everything. But then he's going to turn on the people. And 3.5 years of hell is going to be unleashed on earth. Friend, I don't want to see any of you in the tribulation. Thank God there is time and now to make preparation. Just as there was in time of your training, in times of training and preparation to go out to do the duties that you were required of, now is the time for the preparation to be called to the final homecoming of God. There will be a great time when He rides in on a white steed with King of Kings and Lord of Lords on His breastplate and upon His thighs, with His blessed breastplate of righteousness, to be victorious over all sin, death, and hell, and to bring to end this sin that we know today in our world. And He loves you today. He gave you the opportunity to still be here in your service to men, to still be here serving, to encourage those that might be going through difficulties, to talk to one another and realize, hey, we're not the only ones that are going through this. And God gives us each other to uplift one another. Today is the day of salvation. Don't put it off till a better opportunity you think may come by, because that is a lie of Satan. There's no better time than the time when God's dealing with your heart. And I used to hear that and think, well, what is dealing with your heart? I don't fully understand that. If you're sitting there and it feels like your heart's about to jump out of your chest, that's God putting His little squeeze on it, saying, I love you, and I want to come in there, and I want to give you peace that you've never known. I want to show you love like you've never known, because until you know Jesus, you don't know what true love is. You think you do. But until you meet the one who had love that came and died on the cross of Calvary, who at any time could have called down legions of angels and taken Him off the cross, but He didn't. He went on that wooden cross. It wasn't smooth. Imagine the splinters and things that must have been there. A crown of thorns that were plaited and placed upon His head. His beard plucked out. They smote Him with their hands, they spit upon Him, and they drove nails through His hands. Some may think, well, that sounded like a weak man. He didn't stand up for himself. Oh, he stood up for everyone the day he laid his life down. We don't go through this life alone. We may feel that we are alone, but we're never alone if we have Jesus. And friend, this morning, if you're here and you don't know him, I want to invite you to come know this Jesus that I know. In March, this coming March, the 26th, I've been preaching for 20 years. Very short time when it's compared to eternity. These few minutes that we've had today to spend together is a very short time in a time compared to eternity. Friend, have you made ready to be in your eternity with God? Have you made that choice today? If not, as they prepare a song of invitation, I ask you to come. Let me show you in God's Word what it takes. Nicodemus came to Jesus to find out how to be saved and what he must do to be saved. And Jesus told him he must be born again. With that birth, you know a Savior, and you are born into the family of God. Our great Commander-in-Chief, our great God, that I'm able to serve proudly and stand and say, not only am I American, but I am a Christian. And I am saved to the uttermost. If you would please stand to your feet as the song is playing of invitation. This morning, everyone bow your heads, no one looking across the congregation. Friend, if you're here this morning and you are lost and undone without God, would you just lift your hand and let me pray for you? It won't save you, but it's a step in recognizing that you need Jesus, that you need someone besides yourself to do something for you, because you're not good enough to die for yourself. If you was, Jesus wouldn't have had to come and die. But he did. And he loved you. He didn't have to stay on that cross. He could have came down, but he didn't. When it came time to go to that tomb and spend 3 days there, as his body lay there, he was busy. As he went into captivity and preached to those who died in faith, believing that he was coming. He could have said, I'm not going to do that, but he did it anyway. He rose on the third day and opened the tomb to see it so I could see that he's no longer there. And as you can see, that he was exactly what he said he would be and who he was. The only begotten Son of God, who God had given the power of resurrection for his body. Walked with men after he ascended and after he rose from the dead. Put his blood on the mercy seat of God that my sin debt be paid in yours. He did it all willing. Appeared unto his disciples and had flesh with them as he sat by the seashore as they went a fishing. He made them fishers of men. But he ate and he shared with them. Sent them out to do a great duty. And it's not over yet. We are still to be out on the battlefield of God. Maybe you're here this morning and you've got a special need, whatever it may be. If you'd like to come to the altar, please do so. A friend or loved one, a colleague, a member of your VFW, it might be ill health or whatever it might be. If you'd like to come pray for them, please do so. Maybe a member of your family that's ill, bring them. Maybe you got a special need, whatever it may be. This altar's open, whether you're a member of New Hope Church or not. Because we serve the same God everywhere. Because He is everywhere present and nowhere absent. You may be seated where you are. Let us pray once again. Dear God, we thank you for the battle plans that you have laid out before us that we have examples of, dear God, in following your word. Dear God, we thank you that you have never failed us, that you are the supreme commander-in-chief. God, we thank you for the rest of Ephesians there as it talks about putting on the whole armor of God. Dear Heavenly Father, we pray that today that we have on the helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness. Dear Heavenly Father, that we have our shield, dear Heavenly Father of faith, have the sword of the Spirit, the Word, dear God, to go forward, have our loins girded, dear God, in our feet shod with the preparation, dear Heavenly Father, to go out. And God, we always notice that in all this, dear Heavenly Father, no matter how many times we read those scriptures, there's no back plate, dear God, because we're never to turn our back on Satan, but to keep going forward in the battle for that's right. Dear Heavenly Father, we know that Your Word is ever settled in heaven, God, and we thank You. We thank You for this day. We thank You for Your blessings. We thank You for Your Word. We thank You for its encouragement. To dear God, know that one day, after a while, we will be finished here with all these troubles and trials. And God, that we will be called home. And dear Heavenly Father, in our hearts and minds, this is just a place that I'm passing through. A foreign country that I live in now, but I am going home to heaven one day. And God, I thank You for the journey. I thank You for the times of struggle. I thank You for the times of happiness. I thank You for the times of joy. And dear Heavenly Father, I thank You for the times of smiles and laughter, the times that we share in sorrow with our brothers and sisters. Dear God, that maybe we can uplift them at some point in time in their life. And we thank You for keeping these that are here today safe and have brought them home. Dear God, may they get the honor and respect that they deserve for their honor to their service, their country, and most of all, our God. Lord, we thank You and we praise You. We ask that You bless these that have come, Lord, whatever their petition might be, God, that You answer according to Thy will. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.